of us is a boy who cries out for emancipation. Silence his voice with your own as we beseech. The story must be told. We remember the trials of St. Miles, who begged the weak to hammer their shovels into clubs. We recall how the weak beat him down and, once dead, had no shovels with which to bury him. Let us hear the words they spoke as he rotted.
I was digging in the garden, uprooting hydrangeas, after they poisoned my dog dead. My shovel hit soft tissue, spilling blood in the dirt. With my hands, I excavated what lay below. It was a boy, in full military dress, buried with honors. He stirred awake. I had disrupted his boyhood hibernation. He said he wasn't finished yet, had some more growing to do. He fell asleep as I buried him back. 17 years later, what do you know? A grown man crawled out of the grass. The National Guard was waiting for him, drew him and quartered him by the swing set. The crime was desertion. Before they buried him, they wrapped him in a flag.
Bury the story in an unmarked grave of iniquity so we might revisit it and vomit. We are guilty of treachery if we cry out the story in a coward's tone. Reduce your hands to stumps and pick up a quill made of greasy finger bone. Wet the tip in an inkwell of yearning as we speak. The story must be told.
And now from the Book of Cowards, an aptly titled story called The Veteran by Ornklinghoffer Snippelhoff.
The earth shook as the British biplane sputtered meters over Heinrich Hess's head and crashed. The plane exploded into a fireball, hurling Heinrich against the mud and into the foot of bloody, pooled rainwater at his feet. The fighter's heavy wooden propeller broke off, bounced, and split Heinrich's best friend and comrade's head right in half. Joseph fell into the trench water next to Heinrich, his skull split with brain fizzing out behind the bone. Joseph's dead eyes stared forward, his face illuminated in surges by the arcing flares overhead. Heinrich screamed with a mouthful of wet mud and parts of Joseph. There, he cowered in the water as men jumped overhead and were turned into misty meat by the British forces' triangulated gunfire. Heinrich awoke face to face with Joseph, whose skin was purple and pruning as he bloated in the stagnant water. The sun was out and bullets buzzed overhead. Soldiers played cards using Joseph's back as a makeshift card table. Heinrich slumped against the wall of the trench, his legs soaking in the water. "Tough luck," a rat-faced soldier named Carl M. said to Heinrich sympathetically while nodding towards Joseph. The other men bowed their heads in respectful silence as artillery boomed in the distance and exploded on the other side of No Man's Land.
"Ace high wins," barked a muscular soldier with tiny eyes.
The men tossed their cards onto Joseph's back in disappointment as the world shook. Carl straightened the cards and shuffled. Suddenly, a small wave flowed through the trench water as a young boy in a fresh uniform turned the corner with a letter in his hand. The uniform was immaculate, save for a wound on his side that was seeping through his green wool coat. "Herr Captain! Herr Captain!" he yelled, holding a letter above his head. "Dear boy, you're injured. Wait just a moment!" Carl screamed at the child as bombs burst overhead. The boy paid him no attention and ran past the man, water sloshing all over them. Joseph slowly floated along with the boy's current, bobbing like driftwood. The boy turned the corner and was gone. Good God, a tall, gangly corporal named Rudolph H. muttered to himself. The men sat down, situated themselves, and dealt cards off Joseph's back when Captain R. appeared at the end of the trench, looking serious. The men snapped to attention, splashing each other in one motion and soaking their cards.
Private Heinrich S.,
the captain shouted in a high-pitched voice. The messenger clung to Captain R.'s thigh like a koala. The child cautiously stared at the men with his eyes wide open. He had high, rosy cheeks set against pale white skin. The boy looked sick and dead and was eerily alert.
Heinrich S.,
the captain screamed again.
Yes, sir,
Heinrich responded.
At ease,
the captain whispered to the men. They dropped their salutes and held their hands behind their backs, leaning like their guns against the wet trench walls. The captain's face was gentle and his blue eyes watery. He put his arm around Heinrich and held him close, rubbing his back.
I'm afraid I have bad news, S. It's your sister. She's very ill.
Heinrich swayed at the news, dizzy and confused as his cheeks burned. He gathered himself as the captain rubbed his back softly, muttering,
There, there, my boy.
What? How did this boy find me? He helplessly asked the captain.
This boy is here to take you to her. Leave now. You had no time to lose.
The captain pulled himself over the trench and faced the firing enemy line. None of the soldiers against the wall budged as Heinrich lunged at him to pull him down. The captain dodged Heinrich and shouted over the trench in English. As soon as he peeked over, the firing stopped.
I am sending over Heinrich S.,
he screamed into the silence. There were two more booms of artillery far off in the distance, then nothing. Planes that moments before were in vicious firefights turned away and flew to base.
I told them we're sending over S, he explained.
The troops nodded sadly. The captain took Heinrich by the arms.
We send our condolences.
Now be quick, the boy will lead you. The boy grabbed S by the hand and scurried over the trench. He jogged, pulling S along no man's land.
Be careful, Heinrich screamed.
Dead horses lay on their sides with their legs pointed stiffly into the air. Men decayed in the dirt as flies swarmed on their intestines. He passed scene after scene of gory destruction, tripping in and out of craters, specked with meaty British and German uniforms. The boy led S directly to the British line. Heinrich immediately hit the dirt and covered his head, scurrying away. But the boy pulled S to his feet and began dragging him in a bizarre feat of strength. His wound continued to stain his side, blood now running down his pants leg. Heinrich screamed for him to stop, but the boy was relentless and pushed him over the British line. Heinrich splashed into the trench, squeezed his eyes shut, and gritted his teeth, ready to feel the heat of a muzzle against his head. Instead, he was carefully raised up by his arms and steadied face to face with a British captain. He looked nearly identical to Captain R., the only difference a healthy brown mustache below his nose. Heinrich breathed heavily and took in the scene around him. The trench was lined with British soldiers standing at attention. The British captain stood before him, his blue eyes watering. He held out a decorative, pearl-handed revolver to Heinrich. He stammered in broken German in a high-pitched voice.
On behalf of His Majesty's Army, we offer our deepest condolences.
S accepted the gift, aghast, blood pounding in his ears.
Now make haste,
the officer shouted at the boy. The boy pulled Heinrich over the trench and dragged him toward the woods. The bleeding did not slow him down. The forest loomed hundreds of meters away. The tree line was scarred where wayward bombs had hit. No birds flew overhead, nor did the trees move in the wind.
My boy, you're injured, Heinrich pleaded.
But the boy pulled him into the woods all the quicker. Heinrich and the boy hopped over scenes of destruction, tripping over bodies and spent shell casings. There were rifles pushed into the mud, standing at weird angles like cursed trees. The boy led Heinrich into the woods. He snaked Heinrich around trees deeper into the forest. The tree cover was so dense that the sun was blotted out, and it looked immediately like midnight. The boy pulled the pleading Heinrich through the darkness, so devoid of light that Heinrich couldn't see inches in front of his face. Suddenly, the boy slowed as a light appeared in the dark. They cautiously approached it as the light grew more and more intense. A din of voices could be heard coming from the light. It sounded like whispered chanting. At long last, They reached the final tree line. The boy gently shoved Heinrich through the trees into the clearing. There huddled a crowd of old women in matching black shawls in front of Heinrich's childhood home. Heinrich shivered, and the air sucked itself out of his lungs. He turned, incredulous, to the boy. But the boy had disappeared. But his home was thousands of kilometers away, not in this queer land. Heinrich gathered his nerve and approached the chanting women. They held candles and prayed, paying him no attention as he pushed through the mob to the front of his house. Their words were inaudible, hanging over Heinrich's head in a low drone. The front door swung open, and out jutted his father. The towering giant stood with his back straight, his red face contorted in a grimace, and saliva dripping down his mouth. "Look who decided to join us," he spat, sneering at Heinrich. "If it isn't Mr. Toy Soldier!" The old women burst into a cackle. They held on to one another and doubled over with mock laughter, pointing at Heinrich. "Please, father, you cannot enter my house in a state like this. Look at you, covered in mud, your jacket ripped at the elbows and your knees showing. You should be ashamed," his father screamed at Heinrich. The women erupted in hysterical laughter. "Undress! You can enter when you're good and ready." He slammed the door on Heinrich's face. Puzzled and crying, Heinrich looked at the crowd of old women for mercy. But they had returned to praying, their heads bowed, as if the exchange had never even happened. S crept to the window, desperate for a look at his sister. He peeked through the glass and saw her door was shut. He scanned the living room and saw his father, mere feet from the door, sitting rigidly, staring forward with his hands on his knees, sitting in a chair. Heinrich searched, but could not see his mother. Heinrich returned to the door and pounded. He screamed, begging to be let in, pleading with his father, who sat like a statue on the other side of the door. After crying to his father for hours, he had no choice but to disrobe. He carefully took his clothes off and folded them neatly in his arms. He faced the old women, hiding his bare, retreated penis with his coat. They continued to stare at the ground, praying. He faced the door, and it swung open. There, his mother stared at him furiously, her mouth tied in an enraged knot. Before he could speak to her, she barked at him. "Hand me those rags and I'll burn them at once!" she screamed at him. He pleaded with her for kindness, but she simply snatched his clothes and stormed away. "You might as well come in," she shouted behind her back. She exited into her room and slammed the door behind her. "Well, well, well, Mr. Toy Soldier," his father growled at him. "Not so big and strong without that fancy uniform, now are we?" His laughter boomed through the house. Heinrich stared at the floor in bare naked shame as his cheeks burned. His father continued to laugh as he scanned the room. Walls where pictures once hung were empty. Through the doorway and into the kitchen, Heinrich could see no pots nor pans on the stove. The cupboards were open, at odd angles, and empty. The house was barren like a tomb. His father grabbed S by his shoulder. "She has only a few minutes left. I tried to talk sense into her, but she insisted on seeing you before she died." "Lot of help you've been, huh?" he mocked. He sneered with an evil smile as his daughter lay dying not 10 feet away. "In you go, boy!" he shouted. He swung open his daughter's door and pushed Heinrich in. The door slammed behind him and locked. Candles burned all throughout the room on tall posts. The wall had been stripped of decoration and the window boarded over. In the corner of the room, the messenger boy was slumped over and dead, his uniform soaked through with blood. His doll eyes stared at the floor, and his cheeks looked even rosier, bright against his blanching dead face. "Brother," his sister meekly rasped, "come to me." Heinrich crawled to her bed, hunched over, ashamed at his nakedness. "Do not hide yourself. This doesn't matter anymore," his sister whispered. "Where have you been? Why didn't you save me?" she begged, her breaths rigid, a sickening sweetness emanating from her. Heinrich pulled himself up against the bed and looked down at his sister. He recoiled and felt nauseous. Her eyes had sunken into her head, leaving dark, empty patches on her face. lips cracked with blood and swollen with pus, swelled beneath her black, decaying nose.
Oh, my sister, what have they done to you?
Why didn't you help me?
She begged. Heinrich gagged.
But I was at the war. I couldn't come. I didn't know. I couldn't come home to help you.
You should have helped,
his sister rasped strangely. She stirred in bed.
No. Stay still. You need rest.
His sister ignored him and sat up. Flesh barely clung to her bones beneath a bright blue nightgown with white lace at the collars. She turned to him, her empty eye sockets staring in his direction.
They need you,
she whispered strangely.
Who?
Heinrich gasped, puzzled.
They need you. You can take my place now, she whispered.
Sister! Sister, you're not making sense! Lay down!
Don't worry, brother. The boy will keep you company. They need you now.
She took Heinrich's hands and squeezed. When she pulled away, bits of flesh stuck to his hands and slipped off her bleeding fingers.
Sister, what is this?
Heinrich begged. His sister lay down on her back and placed her head on her pillow. She began breathing rapidly. Heinrich sweated, begging her to make sense. She took one last, deep gasp and stopped.
No, 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 my dear sister!
Heinrich screamed over her bed, shivering and naked. He grabbed what was left of her hands, and they turned into dust. Her body collapsed into dirt, leaving only her blue nightgown and strands of hair. As Heinrich collapsed on the floor, a great pounding came from the door.
It's done! Not so fancy anymore, are you, Mr. Toy Soldier? We'll see to that!
He shouted insanely. A great pounding came through the door. Heavy wood shuffled against the door on his father's side, followed by a concussive hammering.
We'll lock you in here nice and good. You and your sister both. Two funerals in one day. Not so bad, is it, Mother? A bargain.
He shouted like a madman. Heinrich slammed his hands against the door, screaming as his father boarded up the other side, entombing Heinrich.
Father, make sense, Heinrich pleaded.
A nice grave for a bad, bad son, that's what this is.
His father screamed.
Father! 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 Father!
He was overwhelmed with tears and slunk to the floor. He held his face and wept with his entire naked body. Heinrich cried on the floor until the pounding stopped. So boarded in was the door that Heinrich could only hear muffles of his father laughing on the other side. As he collected himself, he turned towards the corner where the dead boy sat. A candle burned brightly over his dead face and then quickly went out, plunging the entire corner of the room in implacable darkness. Heinrich gasped. He saw movement from the corner of his eye, and there, at the end of the bed, sat the boy, his uniform stiff with dried blood, sitting weirdly at attention. The child stared at the ground, dead. The candle above him went out. Again, the boy appeared on the side of the room. The candle above him snuffed out. Candles snuffed throughout the room, each a spotlight going out above the ghastly child. Heinrich pushed himself against the wall in frozen terror. The candles went out throughout the room. The boy slumped beneath each one, seemingly teleporting, the darkness coming closer and closer to Heinrich until there was only one candle left. The boy sat slumped, inches in front of Heinrich, blood oozing from his dead mouth. The final candle went out. The story must be told.
Fall to the floor and cover your heads. Convulse and soil yourselves before your departure so the world might know you by your liquids. The story is agony. It is the phantom limb of your failings. There's a dungeon in the basement, and each family must volunteer one dad. Choose wisely. I promise you'll grin as he descends the stairs and is imprisoned in the story until the book is restored.
Thank you. that was The Story Must Be Told. We are proud to be hosted by the Last Podcast Network, lastpodcastnetwork.com. Please give us a little greasy hello over on Twitter at TSMBTPod. Look at our artwork on Instagram, also TSMBTPod. Rate and review us on iTunes. This has been a Post Everything production, posteverythingproductions.com. Oh, we got stuff up there for your peepers to peep upon. And we'll sit proper with you and feel your warmth next week.
His sisper whistered. That was a joke.
And the story must be told.